رأي عين نسيت. Then after that we go home, we now عفسنا الأزواج والأولاد والضيعات. So we get involved now with our wives, with our children, with our livelihood. So then we forget a lot. In other words, now it's not like so fresh in our head like that thing. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, well, then we are also experiencing the same thing. So now they went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu anhu, and after he explained Hazrat Hanzala, he explained his condition, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that, O Hanzala, if you have to remain in the condition that you are when you are by me, if you have to remain like that after you go home, your business, etc., then the malaika will come down and they will make musafaha with you while you're walking the road and while you're lying down on your bed too. In other words, you reach such a maqam, the malaika will have to come make salam with you. But Sa'atan fa sa'atan. In other words, there's a time now for everything. Certain times you feel like that, like such a high. But other times, otherwise you won't be able to function as a human being. There's certain things a person has to do in life to be able to survive as a human being in this dunya. So now if he's going to be of that level, he won't even be able to function as a normal human being. So, there's a time and place. So, sometime, this is what perturbs a person. That, you know what, at that time I was like that, and now I'm like this. So, that's why I'm munafiq. So, there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, no, not munafiq. The second thing is, that in English language, if a person, he said one thing, he did something else. Then, in front of a certain person, he said certain thing. In front of somebody else, he's saying the opposite thing. In the English language, he said, but don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. So, in deen, when we talk about a munafiq, that is referred to in the Quran Sharif, referred to in the Hadith Sharif, then that is not to do with this. That is to do with iman. That a mu'min, a true mu'min, he must have iman in his heart. There's iman in his heart. With his tongue also he must testify that he is a believer. And then by and large his actions must also show that he is a believer. Now a munafiq, a hypocrite, he is a person, he doesn't have iman in his heart. He got no iman in his heart. He doesn't bring iman. He doesn't believe. But with his tongue, he pretends to be a believer. But that is a hypocrite. When the Quran Sharif is talking about a hypocrite, all those that innal munafiqina fi darkil asfali minan nar is referring to this. Innal munafiqina yukhadi'una Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum is referring to this kind of hypocrite. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu an the list of the names of the hypocrites, this kind of hypocrite. So, in English language, when you refer to somebody as a hypocrite, that is not a hypocrite in deen. In deen, a person has got iman, and he is committing kabira gunas. He's committing zina. He's committing theft. Right? Kabira gunas. But his iman can still be intact. His iman is still intact. He's still a believer. Right? He doesn't deny that what I'm doing is wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. He doesn't deny that. What I'm doing is a guna. He doesn't deny that. So that person is still a mu'min. Right? Yes, he may be, the fuqaha will say he's a fajir or he's a fasik. He's an open transgressor or he's sinning secretly or whatever. But he's still a mu'min. He's not a munafiq. Munafiq is a person, he doesn't have iman. But no iman, he's just lying with his tongue that I'm a believer. Right? So sometimes we're getting caught up in certain gunas. In our heart, we believe, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. All the dictates, Amantu billah, kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa kabiltu jamia ahkami, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi. All this we believe. Quran is haq, mi'raj is haq, shafa'a is haq. All this we believe. Jannat, jahannam is haq, ba'd al-maut, everything we believe. Right? So, but now I'm getting caught up in some gunas. If I'm getting caught up in gunas, maybe at a certain stage in my life I had given up those gunas. Now those gunas have crept in again. Maybe at a certain stage in my life I was shouting other people for committing those gunas. Now I'm committing the same guna myself. Right? So, this still won't take a person out of Islam. It won't take him out of iman. We won't say that he is a hypocrite. Right? Then, there are certain traits, certain actions, which are the traits of hypocrites. So, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he outlined these traits. In some hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are 3 traits of a hypocrite. In some hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 4 traits of a hypocrite. Right? When he speaks, he tells lies. When he promises, he breaks his promise. When he's entrusted with something, he makes khianat. When he has a dispute, he starts swearing. Right? So these are traits of a hypocrite. Right? So if a person has got these traits in him, so that means this is a trait of a hypocrite, I must get rid of it. It doesn't mean I'm a hypocrite. This is a trait of a hypocrite. Right? I must get rid of this trait. Doesn't mean if I got this trait, now I'm a hypocrite. Understand? So we must be able to separate the issue. Don't think I lost my iman. Don't think I lost my iman. But yes, I got to get rid of those gunas, those traits, etc. Must get rid of it. The more I get rid of it, the more I'm coming on to Siddh. Being a true mu'min, right? I'm true to Allah Ta'ala. What I'm saying with my tongue, what's in my heart, what's coming out on my actions is all synchronized. It's not that outwardly I'm showing something, in my heart something else, with my tongue I'm saying something else. Not like that. I am who I am. And not in an arrogant way. Some people, they're committing certain gunas or something. They say, "By well, I am who I am." Not like that. What do you mean? In a line of piety, on Sirati Mustaqim, right? I'm not only faking to be on Sirati Mustaqim in front of the people. No, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in my business, whether I'm in the masjid, in the ijtima, wherever I am, I'm the same person. So that is a person who is on his road to becoming a Siddiq. Right? Now, the thing is that all of us, we have our weaknesses, we have our gunas, we have our shortcomings. There's nobody can say that I got no skeletons in the closet. Right? We all got our own, whatever it may be, right? Our own weaknesses. So how to shed these weaknesses? How to shed these weaknesses, these gunas, right? And come onto Sirat-i Mustaqim and start being true to Allah Ta'ala. So there are a few things. One is Dhikrullah. Right? Dhikrullah in all its forms. Quran Sharif, Taneem, making dhikr, sitting for some programs, right? All this, it reminds us of Allah Ta'ala. So the more we are conscientized of Allah Ta'ala, the more we will come into the obedience of Allah. Right? That's one aspect. The other thing is to remember death often. Remember death often. This remembrance of death, it makes the akhirat real. See, when we don't remember death, we don't think about death, then we get consumed with the world. Death becomes like some abstract thing. Like, you know, it's, yeah, okay, we know about it, we buried that one, this one, but I'm not dying. It's like, you hear so many stories, right, of people meeting in accidents, motor car accident, right? We hear so many accidents, Allah Ta'ala make you fast, right? But when I'm behind the wheel, I'm not meeting in an accident. I'm driving, I'm not making accident. In my head, it's not happening to me. It's not going to happen to me. I heard a lot of people, yeah, this one passed away, that one broke his leg, this thing happened. That one. But when I'm driving, I'm still redlining it. No, I'm still going for it because I'm not going to make accident. I don't believe it's going to happen to me. Right? So, same like that in life. People are passing away, we reading the funeral notice, we attending the janaza also, everything. But I'm not dying. Aju arche. I've got lot time still. I still got a lot of time. So this is a deception of life, a deception. Shaitan, he makes a, this is one of his wasawis. You got lot time. Now how he makes his waswasa? Distant hopes. Make us plan for distant things now. And, no, I'm still going to do that. You know, we've got so many hopes. So death doesn't feature anywhere there. We're not thinking about death now. We're planning this. We're still going to do that. We're still going to do this. Right? So death doesn't feature anywhere there. But when a person makes muraqabah of maut on a daily basis, thinks of death. So now the akhirat becomes real. Death becomes real. So it doesn't mean that the person now, he won't be able to perform optimally. And now you just sit around, hey, you know, death is coming now, I'm finished, I'm going to die now. No. Not that. Just that whatever he's doing, he will now do it how Allah Pak wants it done. Because I'm going to die. The only thing that's going to make me want to do this, not how Allah Pak wants it, is because I think it's going to benefit me more in my world. You take a simple example. I want to buy that car. Right? I don't have the money. So, the option is, to just stay with my old car, keep fixing and carrying on, or go to the bank. Go to the bank now and buy the car. Now, why will I take the option of the bank? Why will I take the option of the bank? It's because I'm thinking in my head, that option is going to benefit me in my world. Right? But if death is real for me, now I say to myself, I'm going to go sign up there for 6 years, 5 years, 6 years. I don't even know if I'm even going to live that long. I'm complaining about this car that I can't make long distance trip. I don't know if I'm going to live till the next long distance trip. So what if I go now and I sign this thing up? I get involved in this riba transaction and I just get the car, and one month down the line, I'm gone. Now what I'm going to tell Allah Pak no? How am I going to go in front of Allah Pak? So everything in our life, I'm in business, somebody comes with some business scheme where I can make a lot of money. But it's not complying with the Sharia. It's not complying with the Sharia. There's no problem in making a lot of money. You can make a lot of money, no problem. Allah Pak knows, so you can't make money. Once, just digress a little bit, right? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he was advising the Sahaba in his time, radiallahu anhu, that see, don't give exorbitant mehrs. Right? Don't give exorbitant mehr. So, one lady took objection. She said that when Allah Ta'ala has allowed it, why are you prohibiting it? So it was asked of her, where Allah Pak allowed it? So she read the ayat al-kareema, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. That if a person, he wants to now divorce his wife, I'm giving him a mafhum, right? He wants to divorce his wife, for whatever the reason may be, and marry somebody else, whatever, right? So now he wants to divorce this wife. But he has given her, this word kintar now, is like lot of money. Lot of money, he gave her a lot of money as mehr, right? Big money he gave her. Don't take nothing back from her. Don't take anything back from her. So she's saying, Allah Pak said, if the man gave big amount of money, that means he's allowed to give big amount of money. So why are you saying, mustn't give? Umar radiallahu anhu, say with regards to him, that if he's told, he's given the ayat of the Quran Sharif immediately, he will just take back whatever he said. So, he took back what he said. So, if the man is going to give kintara, how is he going to earn the kintara? You have to make lot money. If you get lot money, then he can give lot money. You know? So, no problem. If Allah Ta'ala gives in a halal way, permissible way, no problem. But now if somebody comes with one job offer or one transaction or whatever, you know, this thing is not complying with the Sharia. So now why would I take it? Because I'm thinking of my world. If I take this thing, I hit this transaction, how much money I'll make, I can sort this out, that out. But if I'm thinking of death, I say, bhai, if I pass away, then what? So rather, leave it out. Life is too short. Don't take these kind of chances. So this thinking of death, and this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prescription. You must think a lot about the break of haram pleasures. Meaning, maut. And if you see, the dua before we go to sleep reminds us of death. The dua when we wake up in the morning reminds us of death. So this thinking of death all the time, it keeps the alignment right. Keeps the compass, keeps the alignment right. That I am working towards that. And the third thing, is to keep reminding ourselves that Allah knows everything. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. Over and above Allah Ta'ala knowing everything, Allah Ta'ala has got the malaika recording my deeds. My limbs are recording my deeds. The ground where I carry out the deed, that ground is recording it. It's in the memory of the ground. And it is in the memory of the malaika who are watching me. One is those that are writing down. Other is a malaika that are witnessing everything. So one is, it's all in Allah's knowledge. Allah doesn't need all these means. Right? Allah Ta'ala knows it. And then over and above that, there's all these things that are going to give testimony. Right? So now, can I hide and do anything? I can't hide and do anything. I can be in my house. Nobody is there. Children all grown up. They married. They gone. So they won't know now if I'm watching movie in my house. But Allah Ta'ala knows. I gave this thing up. Now why I started again? So these three things, if we do this, dhikrullah, right? Then death, making death real, right? And the third thing is Allah is away. Allah Ta'ala is away. These three things, if we keep it with us, it will help us, to give up our weaknesses, our gunas, etc. Remain on Sirat al-Mustaqim. Another person asked, say, with regards to dua, how must I make dua? So first, with regards to dua, we must remember that dua is the essence of ibadat. The essence, pinnacle of ibadat is dua. Why? In every act of ours, every act of ibadat, the objective is to submit ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. Whichever act of ibadat it is, we are submitting to Allah Ta'ala. Right? In dua, you're really submitting. In dua, a person is showing his ajizi. He's begging. He's begging Allah Ta'ala. He's showing, Ya Allah, I can't do anything. You are my Rabb. You are my Khaliq. You are my Master. You are my everything. I'm asking you. So that's why it's the essence of all ibadat, dua. The second thing is, there is no dua that goes unanswered. Right? Besides a person who makes dua for guna or breaking family ties. That is not accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Other than that, every dua is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Right? So now, dua is the request. We're making the request to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala accepts every request. But that doesn't mean Allah Ta'ala is going to give us exactly what we're asking for all the time. Because that too is a mercy, is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. If Allah Ta'ala had to give us whatever we ask for all the time, we will really make a mess up of our lives. We will make a mess up of our lives. So Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom, He knows what is good for us, what is bad for us, what is best for us, when the time is right for this, when the time is right for that. One youngster, young person came to me the other day. Now he's young out of school, right? This matriculant. Said, no, Mana, I gave this thing some thought. In order for me not to commit guna, I need to get married. In order for me not to commit guna, I need to get married. So I need you. You need to speak to my parents because when I bring this topic up with them, they get angry. So you need to speak to my... Now, the person is 17, 18 years old, right? Nadan, right? Not mentally mature. So his parents know him better than us. So that's why the parents are probably getting upset when he's bringing up this marriage thing. They're telling him, now is not the time, right? In his mind, this is the way I'm going to stay away from guna. So I asked him, I said, so bhai, currently the clothes you're wearing, the food you're eating, the shelter you're under, who's paying for it? You know, father. I said, now, why you don't pay for it? No, I can't afford it. I'm not working, can't afford it. I said, so you can't pay for yourself. Now, how are you going to bring your wife into the equation now? You can't afford to sort your own self out. And now you're going to bring a wife into the equation? How are you going to do that now? And when you bring a wife into the equation, then a child may come into the equation. Now you're going to support the child. So you're just thinking about you getting saved from the guna. But now, everything else that marriage entails, are you thinking about that? You're not thinking about all of that. So how you can, with which face now you're saying you want to get married? So instead of getting married, you must start keeping roza. You must fast one way now. Not only Ramadan. Out of Ramadan, couple months you must fast consecutive. Break the shahwat. So, if we have, now, if that person may, he say, he may dua, he must get married. Now is that going to be good for him? You get a poor person, he said, no man, hey, I like that M5, I like that car, he make dua, Allah, on M5, now M5 came. Now M5 came, now you got no money to put petrol inside? How is he going to run the car? That thing is so heavy on fuel. So if we have to get everything we ask for, we really make a blunder. Allah Ta'ala, in His wisdom, every dua is answered. And Allah Ta'ala will either give us what we're asking for, or Allah Ta'ala will give us what is better. Allah Ta'ala, sometimes through the barakat of the dua, we don't get what we're asking for. But Allah Ta'ala removes some difficulty that was supposed to come to us, we don't even know about it. Allah Ta'ala removes it through the barakat of that dua. And the best is that we don't get anything for that dua in the dunya. We don't realize anything. Not what we're asking for, not a substitute, not a better thing, no harm is averted, nothing. So those duas are kept as a treasure in the akhirat. When the person goes on the day of Qiyamah, now he will be shown that this is your deeds you got for that action, this action, that action. Now he will see, but there is one heavy investment here, heavy bank balance here. This is for which action? I can't recall. My Qurbani is sorted out there. Hajj is there. Umrah is there. Itikaf is there. Akhlaq is there. This is there. Everything is there. Now this one here is unaccounted for. He'll query. What is this for? Where this came from? So, no, these are all the duas you made in the dunya, which we didn't give you in the dunya. We kept it as a treasure for you here. So it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that when the person, when he realizes that over there, he will say, if only no duas of mine got accepted in the dunya. When he sees what he's getting there for the duas that he didn't get in the world, you see, if only nothing I've got in the world, if I got everything here, would have been better. Because whatever we got in the world, we had to leave it. But obviously, now we want things sorted out here in the dunya, isn't it? But there we'll say now, if only it was all kept for there. So that is with regards to dua. You must have a lot of hope when we make dua. That's why you find the duas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the du'as in the Quran Sharif also, lot of them are in the past tense. Lot of the wordings are in the past tense. In other words, when you ask Allah Ta'ala, it's done already. It's already done. You don't have to worry. It's done. You're asking Allah, that being who is all powerful, Nothing can stop Allah Pak, right? When you're asking Allah Ta'ala, it's sorted out, it's done. Yes. When the manifestation of it being done, Allah wants to show, then He'll show at that time. But the dua that is accepted, it's sealed, it's done, it's accepted, finished. So, when we make dua, you can make dua at any time. Dua and dhikrullah. You don't need to be in wudu. You don't have to be sitting in a particular posture, particular place, particular time. No. Anytime you can make dua. Right? But obviously, when you are sitting now to make dua, then you try to be in a state of wudu, face the direction of the Qibla, right? Sit in a tashahhud posture, and raise your hands, make dua. So the dua when we make, first we must praise Allah Ta'ala. Praise Allah Ta'ala, then send durood upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard one person making dua, and he didn't praise Allah Ta'ala and send durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the effect that he was hasty. He was hasty. First praise Allah Ta'ala, send durood upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then start making dua. The other thing with dua is that we must always start with ourselves. You're asking for forgiveness, ask forgiveness to ourselves. When it comes to being dependent on Allah Ta'ala, I'm most dependent. I'm in need the most. After that, I'll make dua for everybody else. But if I put everybody else and I'm not making dua for me, then I'm showing like an air of independence. I'm showing like an air of independence in front of Allah Ta'ala. So I must always cry for myself. Then after that, make dua for everybody else also. But make dua for ourselves also. So read, praise Allah Ta'ala, Durood Sharif, and then whatever dua we want to make, we make. And then ulama say that in the end of the dua also, again read Durood Sharif, praise Allah Ta'ala, and conclude the dua. You know? So there are many masnoon duas, the duas of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then there are many Quranic duas. What can be better than that? The du'as from the Quran Sharif, the du'as that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made, you know, can't be any du'as better than that. So we must try and learn those du'as, make those du'as, right? However, that doesn't mean that we cannot make du'a in our own language, talk to Allah Ta'ala from our heart. One is those, the Quranic du'as, the du'as of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Brother Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali got a nice compilation of du'as. It's called Munajat-e-Maqbool. So they broke it up into seven. And now on Yom al-Sabt, read these du'as. The part that's for Saturday is mostly all the du'as from Quran Sharif. Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana. Then for Sunday, there's an allocation, Monday till Jumu'ah. So if a person, he reads that Munajat-e-Maqbool, if he's fluent, once he becomes fluent, take him about 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes, he can read it. So he knows he's reading the du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After that, he can make his own dua. Right? Then there is also Hizbul Azam. Now that is slightly longer. Slightly longer. So that if you have to read the daily allocation, that also is put into daily allocations. If you did daily allocation, it will take you 15 minutes, 20 minutes. The person got more time. Can read those du'as also, right? And then you can make your own du'a. Then a lot of us, we don't know Arabic. So now if we're reading those du'as, We just read in like parrot fashion. We don't know, you don't even know what we're asking for, right? So many ulama have got duas written in English. Like Abu Hazrat Muniz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the duas that he used to make, so it's put into a kitab form, right, the book form. Right? And the person can use that kitab and make dua from there. But all this is to just teach us how to make dua. The main thing is that the person, he must talk to Allah Ta'ala from his heart. Put his needs. Each person's life is unique. Each person's needs are unique. Challenges are unique. Ambitions are unique. So each person must make his own dua also to Allah Ta'ala. The best time, the times for dua, one is tahajjud time. The other is after adhan. The other is after namaz. These are all times for acceptance of duas. Jumu'ah, between asr and maghrib. So, then on a Wednesday afternoon also there is some virtue to make dua on a Wednesday afternoon between zohr and asr. Between zohr and asr, there is a virtue to make dua at that time. So whatever time, but it's not confined. Those are just times that have got more virtue. But a person can make dua at any time. And the other is the masnoon duas when we're carrying out actions. We're putting our shoes on. What is the dua to read at that time? Before we enter the toilet, we come out of the toilet. We're making wudu. What duas am I supposed to read? I'm putting my clothes on. What duas am I supposed to read? Entering the house, coming out of the house, bidding somebody farewell. So these duas, looking into the mirror, these duas, slowly, slowly, if we learn them, this conscientizes us of Allah Ta'ala. One side we'll be making amal on sunnat. Other side, everything that we're doing, we will be remembering Allah Ta'ala. Because every action of ours, we are taking Allah Ta'ala's name. So we'll be like in a constant dhikrullah. So that is with regards to dua. There were only two questions I got. One was with regards to nifaq, the other was with regards to dua. So this kitab here is actually a kitab like a biography of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. So in the end of the kitab, there are some general advices, khutut, letters, questions that were posed to Hazrat Mufti Sahib and the answers that he gave. So there's a lot of sabak for us, a lot of lessons for us in this. They say that we must always try and be in the company of the pious. And when we don't have the pious with us, then read their works. Reading their works will be like we are in their company. So this person, he wrote to Hazrat Mufti Sahib, say, respected Mufti Sahib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kindly favor me with some advice. He just asked for general advice. Sometimes when I read this kitabs of our pious predecessors, we think how intolerant we are. Or me, or maybe not we, I talk for myself. Sometimes, like the other day, somebody sent me one message, say, itikaf, anything happening in Albert Falls? Something like that. So I gave him an answer to like that. Now I know what he's asking, but now is that the way to ask? So I had to give one answer like that too. So then he said, oh, maaf, maana. I'm finding out if there's any itikaf programs taking place, if I want to attend, what's the procedure, etc. Not anybody who's here from the sunnah, just somebody else. But see, this Hazrat Mufti Sahib is such a busy man, right? Now this person is just asking, just kindly favor me with some advice. But he's taking the time out to give this person advice. So he answers, he says, here under are some advices as requested. You requested some advices, so there's some advices. Number one, regard yourself as the lowest of all people in status. I'm the lowest. And the worst, I'm worse than every Muslim with regards to spiritual condition. With regards to status, I'm the lowest. With regards to my spiritual condition, I'm worse than any other believer. I think it was Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib quoting Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhima, apne aap ko sabse kamtar samjhe. Consider yourself to be lower than anyone else. Musalmano se filhal, that I'm the lowest currently compared to any other Muslim. Or kuffaro se fil ma'al. And taking the future into consideration, I'm worse than all the disbelievers also. Because I don't know what's going to be my end. The disbeliever is a disbeliever today. He can become a believer tomorrow. I am a mu'min today, I don't know if I'm going to die or deny. So taking the future into consideration, I'm worse than all of them also. And taking the current situation, I'm worse than all the believers. I remember as Mohammed Spatil Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one day he was giving a bayan to some occasion, some big night or some occasion. And he mentioned something. And then he said that I'm taking an oath in Allah Ta'ala's house that I consider myself to be worse than anyone else. I consider myself to be the worst. I'm worse than everybody who's here in this masjid. I consider myself to be the worst. So this is the advice that Hazrat Mufti Sahib is giving. Consider ourselves to be the lowest. Number two, constantly express shukr to Allah Ta'ala for His bounties and His favors. Now when it comes to the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, then many a time we only consider worldly bounties to be bounties. When we are given tawfiq to carry out a good deed, we don't consider that to be a bounty from Allah Ta'ala. It's only Allah Ta'ala's mercy on me that is allowing me to do this. So we must make shukr for both. Worldly ni'mats also. And more importantly, is our deeni ni'mats. Whatever Allah Ta'ala blesses us with, in our deen, make a lot of shukr for that. The third thing he said, third advice, maintain your focus towards acquiring the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala in everything that you do. Whatever you're doing, keep the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala in front. In this action of mine, how am I going to attract the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Whether it's in my marriage, whether it's in my business, whether it's in my interactions, anything, how am I going to attain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Now, if I'm thinking like that, then can I go towards guna? If all the time I'm worried that how am I going to attract the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Now I can't go to guna. So that is the next point. That they refrain from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Stay away from the disobedience. Everything that is masiyat, stay away. Anything that is disobedience, stay away. No matter how lucrative it may seem, no matter how attractive it may be, no matter how enjoyable it may seem, even if it seems that no, this is going to be beneficial. If something is beneficial, Allah Ta'ala will not prohibit it. Anything that is beneficial, Allah Ta'ala didn't prohibit. So if something is prohibited, then it's harmful. Once, as Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned that you take every sin, anything that Allah Ta'ala has declared as a sin. If a person indulges in that sin, it's either going to harm him, or it will harm him and his family, or it will harm him, his family, and the society. But there's no nafa. There's no benefit. Sin always causes harm. So stay away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. The fifth thing he mentioned, keep the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dominant over the love of all the creation. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala is the creator. So Allah Ta'ala's love is supreme. But after that, everything else is creation. So when it comes to creation, let Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love be dominant. So if that is there, then we'll be on sunnah. We'll be on sunnah. Right? Man, he gets married to the woman of his dreams, right? He got married to the woman of his dreams. If there is something like that. But anyway, he think he got married to the woman of his dreams. Eh? Now, he's so infatuated with this wife of his. Eh? So infatuated. She tells him, no, I'm very frightened. Don't go for namaz. I'm very scared. Eh? I'm very frightened. Isha time, Fajr time, I'm very scared. Don't go to the masjid for namaz. Now, if the love for this wife is dominant and not the love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will give in to her. He will give in to her. If the love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dominant, then he'll tell her, see, he'll hamjao her nicely. He won't just tell her, hey, you scared, you're your problem, I'm going. No. Because that too is not the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He'll explain to her nicely, see, I'm going to read salah. You are afraid. If you make sabr, Allah will reward you. And I'm going to read namaz, Allah will protect you. You read your dua, I'll read dua, right? I'm going, I'll be making dua for you all the time. And I won't read my sunnats. I'll come straight. In the early days of marriage, the man got a young wife, she's frightened, right? So now he can do this. He can tell her, see, I'll go and read my faras. I have to go read my faras. I'll come home and read my sunnats. So I won't be long. So he's making her riayat also. He's making her riayat also. But at the same time, he's not compromising Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. Now he got a nice, mashallah, beard. Now she's telling him, you know what? You know, I just try to imagine what you look like without a beard. I think you look very handsome without a beard. Now, if he is infatuated there, he'll go take it out. People have done this. But if he got Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in front of him, so then he'll become intelligent. So he'll tell her, Yam, I also want you to see me without a beard. So let's both of us immerse ourselves in good deeds, then we'll be together in Jannah. Then you'll see me there without a beard. Like that one person, he just got married, just got married, and the call for jihad came. So he didn't even see his wife. He just got married. Call for jihad came. So he responded. It was probably a jihad where it was for us, for everybody to go or whatever. So he responded. So Alhamdulillah, the Muslim army was victorious. And he came back home. Came home. I can imagine the wife now. When he first went, how worried. Her husband now, she didn't even see him. Just got married. And now she didn't even get to see him. Is he going to get shaheed? What's going to happen? I won't see my husband. Now he came back home. The army was victorious. He made it, came back home. Can imagine the khushi, the excitement, right? He too now excited is. So he comes in the house, enters the house, and elan of jihad is made. So he turns around to go. So she comes behind him, and she grabs his garment, but he is moving front, like Yusuf alayhi salam's pissa. He is moving front, but here obviously it was halal, there it was not halal, here is halal. He is moving front, and she is trying to restrain him. So the kurta tore. So without turning around, he asked her that, why are you stopping me from answering the call? So she said, I'm not stopping you. I'm not stopping you. I just got this fear that you're not going to come back. Right? So I just want to see your face. So on the day of Qiyamah, when the shuhada will be there, I'll know who my husband is. I'll know who my husband is. Just show me your face. So he told her, that see, if I don't come back, and if I make it to the ranks of the shuhada, and you looking for your husband on the day of Qiyamah, you just look for that shaheed with the torn kurta. Well, I'm afraid to turn around. Yeah. If I turn around, I see you, I don't know whether I'm going to have the resolve to continue. So rather I just carry on. You look for the shaheed with the torn kurta on the day of Qiyamah. It's not a hadith or anything. Somebody mentioned this thing in a bayan, some incident. Wallahu a'lam. So when the love of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the front, then the person will always give preference to deen, give preference to shariat, give preference to the sunnah. He won't now, the wife is telling him, no, man, you know, we have to redo the kitchen, and he got no money to do it. Yeah, but now, my sister's house, they did it, and your sister's house did it, and now you go take a loan from the bank. Now you go swipe his credit card to make her happy. No. You first keep Allah Ta'ala happy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happy. The sixth thing, the last advice he gave him, refrain totally from hurting the feelings of others. Don't break another person's heart. Don't hurt anybody. Intentionally. Sometimes people get hurt for nothing too. Now that you can't help it now. You don't intend to hurt the person. Person got offended. Some people are just chicken-hearted, you know. They take offense for everything. So that's, sometimes you're talking huck and people are getting offended. So that, they now, la yakhafuna fillahi lawmat lahim, right? But you're talking about normal, intentionally, don't give somebody taklif, don't hurt somebody. There's a nice way of saying something, say it nicely. Why say it in a harsh manner? Don't hurt another person. Have consideration. Don't give taklif to anybody. Rather, I take the trouble on myself. I take the pain on myself. But I mustn't give taklif to the next person. In the end of the letter, may Allah Ta'ala grant you and me the ability to practice upon these advices. Allah Ta'ala grant us also the ability. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.